Hallelujah. Well, we're still in our study in Ephesians, and we're in the fifth chapter. Ephesians 5. And this Sunday, we're ready to start with the 27th verse. But I'm going to read verses 25 and 26 that we covered last week to kind of lead into our 27th verse. So in Ephesians 5, verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. He gave himself for the church. And for what reason? That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. And if you remember then last Sunday, as I commented on those verses, I talked about practical sanctification. That is being done in our lives by the Holy Spirit. And I brought out last time, this cleansing does not happen overnight. Not practical sanctification. It's not an overnight thing, but a work that is being done in us all our lifetime. Of course, we were provisionally sanctified at our new birth. But God desires that sanctification be made practical in your lives and my lives. Yes. So as we yield to God and to the Holy Spirit, He will do that work in us. And he will bring our state up to our standing in Christ. We have a holy standing in Christ. He will bring our state up to our standing. See the difference between provisional sanctification and, of course, a practical sanctification. Well, God has a purpose in all this. And we're going to read what his purpose is today. And that's verse 27. That he might present it, now that's the church, that he may present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, I want to read this verse to you from the Greek text. It reads this way, that he, of course, Christ, might place beside himself the assembly glorious, not having spot or blemish or any such thing, but that she might be holy and blameless. Isn't it good to read that in the original text? Yes, that she. Well, in 2 Corinthians 11, 2, that tells us the whole church was espoused to Christ in God's provision. The whole church was espoused to Christ, but only a small portion of the body of Christ accepts that engagement. Now why? Well, because that work that's being done in our lives means separation. Separation from the world. You know, that's what sanctification means. It means set apart. It means separated unto him. And so only a small portion, we might call it a rib portion, just like Eve was made from the rib of Adam's body, there's going to be a rib portion from the body of Christ that will have an intimate place by the Lord's side. We also read in 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter and verse 7, that the woman is the glory of the man. Likewise, the bridal company will be the glory of Christ. He died for her. Yes. I give you plenty of time to let this sink in. Praise the Lord. Christ's queen, his spotless bride, will sit by the side of her king. Now in the book of Revelation, chapter 4 and verse 6, the apostle John, he had visions of the future, you know, that we read of in Revelation. And he saw this wonderful company. They arrived first in heaven. And they had been kept out of tribulation days. Revelation 3:10 tells us about that. The overcomers being kept out of tribulation. And we read there in that fourth chapter of Revelation, they are in the midst of the throne. And round about the throne. Well, that's not all that John saw in vision. In the seventh chapter, he also saw a vision. And it was of a great multitude that arrive in heaven at a later time. And it says they come out of tribulation days. See the difference? Some are kept out. Some come out of tribulation days. Well, they're the rest of the body. They are the rest of the body of Christ, the rest of the church. And we read that they stood before the throne. See the difference? The first company was in the midst of the throne. This company stood before the throne and before the Lamb. That's Revelation 7, verse 9. And then you go down and telling about them, that innumerable company. And in verse 15, it says that they serve him day and night. There's a difference. Sitting by his side, serving him day and night. But praise the Lord, it says of that innumerable company, they shall hunger no more. They neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light upon them, nor any heat. And the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them and shall lead them to living fountains of water. And it says, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Isn't that precious of the innumerable company? They come out of tribulation days that had caused a lot of tears. But he will wipe away all tears from their eyes, knowing only glory. Well, praise the Lord. Which one do we want to be in? Which company do we want to be in? Oh, praise the Lord for that intimate place to be by the side of the King. Yes. Of course, the bridal company will have the dearest place by his side, and they will be supremely glorious. We read of those glories, the different glories in Corinthians. Supremely glorious, flawless, free from anything that defiles, cleansed from all filthiness. Do we not read in 2 Corinthians 7:1? Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Well, now, how in the world could we do that? Yield to God. Put him first in your life. He's our first love. Yes. Does this perfected holiness sound too good to be true to you? What did Jesus say? He said, all things are possible to him that believeth. Faith to him that believeth. That's found in Mark 9:23. So in the faith of Christ, let us look beyond our own imperfections unto the perfect one. Looking unto him, let us behold him. And as we do by faith and yield, we are being changed into the same image. As we are looking unto him, we are being changed into the same image from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Now in Colossians, we read it very plainly put, the very purpose that he reconciled us. Colossians 1, verse 21, we'll start with verse 21. Colossians 1, for those of you who are turning there, Colossians 1:21. And you, that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. The assembly glorious. Yes. And what does it say? Continue. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Paul's epistles, yes, especially written unto the Gentiles, but unto all mankind, of course. God purposed a bride for his son. Yes, it was his purpose that his son should have a bride. A bride that loves him supremely. Now, if you notice that in these verses that we've been reading, these verses do not refer to our standing. Because our standing is eternally already settled. Our standing is in Christ. Before him, justified forever. Once and forever. We possess eternal life. The life of Christ. It's eternal life. We read of that in Romans 6, verses 9 and 10. I'm not going to turn there. Also in Hebrews 9:26. It's a finished work. Did not Jesus say, it is finished? And what do we read here in this book of Ephesians? This was all planned before the foundation of the world. Praise the Lord. But to our state of perfection, it depends upon our faith of glorification. In Colossians 1:15, we read that this hope was laid up for us in heaven. It reads, "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." Because of that hope that is laid up for you and for me, we run with patience for the prize of the high calling to win Christ. Philippians 3:8. Because of that hope, we're running to win the prize of the high calling. That prize is Christ himself. That faith sanctifies. It separates us unto him. 1 John 3:3, "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he," Christ, "is perfect." We must continue in that prize-seeking faith. It purifies our walk. Now, Satan will try every trick to remove us from that hope. I told you all about a minister that was my pastor in my early days. And this is years later. I was just a youngster then. But then years later, when I'm married, and Jack and I spent the night in his home, he talked to me. He felt very close to me because he'd been my pastor. And he said, and he's a faithful minister, wonderful minister, preaching the gospel for years. He confided in me. And he said, "That desire to win Christ, to be in that bridal company," he said, "I had been so taken up with my ministry that hope had waned." If that could happen to him, it could happen to you and to me. Don't let that hope wane. As I said, Satan will try every trick. Sometimes we are not really conscious of how that the hope of winning him has waned. It needs to be renewed in us. But we fight the good fight of faith. We read of that in 1 Timothy 6:12. We become grounded in that truth, settled in that truth, and not let that hope wane. I like to think of it in this way, that as we lay a hold of that hope by faith, we own it. That's the way I like to think of it. Lay a hold of it by faith, and I own it. Of course, it's by faith. Praise the Lord. As we feed on Christ, believing his word, we become more beautiful in our attitude and more fervent in our spirit. And when that work is complete, we will be without spot or wrinkle, holy. Holy, blameless in His sight. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. This is God's purpose. This is His purpose for you. This is His purpose for me. And He purposed that in you and in me before the foundation of the world, before man was even created. Amen?
Amen.
Let's sing a song. Let's sing a